Between Sony's recent State of Play, Summer Games Fest, and the Xbox Showcase, there's a lot to be stoked for. Ladies and gentlemen, this is episode 270 of the It's Obvious podcast. Our notes actually say It's an Obvious podcast, episode 270, which I don't know how that got there, but sounds really funny. That's what we should rebrand to, Jacob.
Yes.
Is It's an Obvious podcast.
It's an Obvious podcast.
Yeah, and it's great to be back. How you doing?
I'm doing so good, Garrett. Thanks for asking. It's been way too long, and it's been very lonely in these parts of the internet, not seeing your face, not hearing your scrumptious, your delicious, your breathtaking voice coming through my headphones each and every week. And instead, it's every month or two, but it doesn't make it any less fun when we get the chance to do it.
Yeah, likewise, Jacob. It's a pleasure to see your immaculate physique again, your crystal blue eyes, and your beautiful bald head. That is, I know by choice, you look phenomenal as always.
Thank you.
Great to be reunited.
Yes.
We'll be a little brief with where we're at in life. I mean, same old, we've just been busy, but I've had not much time for games, I'm going to be honest, Jacob. I've kept up with gaming news, but I've not played many games, and honestly, nothing's really grabbed me in quite a while.
I'm kind of in the same place. I might have time to play games, but nothing's really like every time I sit down to play one, it's just like, man, I'm not feeling this. And I don't know if it's just because of the games that I'm trying to play or if it's just, you know, like what you said, there's nothing that's interesting to me right now.
Yeah, I don't know. It's maybe it's just because I'm not in a particular mood. I mean, I've been dabbling in several things, and it isn't one of those situations where we know all the stuff that's coming within the next year. That's, you know, in the past, there might be a situation where we'd be like, oh, you know, there's so many great games coming out. I just want to play those. So anything I play now just can't live up to that hype.
Yeah,
it's not even that situation. Like, I'm looking forward to several games that are coming, but nothing's really having me freaking out. Mm-hmm. So maybe I'm kind of in a gaming limbo right now, Jacob.
Yeah,
I don't think I'm ever going to retire games entirely because there's always that game that comes out that really just reminds you how great games can be. And recently that was Elden Ring for me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, not playing a whole lot, Jacob. But Fribes wrote in and asked, what have you all been up to? So I figured we can bring everyone up to speed on what we've been doing.
Yeah.
What have you been up to, Jacob? What's new in your life?
So probably the newest thing for me lately has been I've been on the runner's kick. I've been doing a lot of running.
I'm running outside in this 100 degree heat.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like running in a sauna.
About that. So I've usually go twice a week. That's what I'm doing right now. It's either a Saturday or a Sunday and then a Monday that I'll go. And I've started out at 2 miles and I've been like slowly working my way up to a higher distance. And right now I'm at 6. And I don't know how much farther I want to go past 6. I'm like, maybe I'll go to 8. I'm not sure. But I don't really have like this goal of like, oh, I'm going to work my way up to a half marathon. Then I'm going to go do a half marathon. No, I'm not doing that. Like, I'm just doing it because I don't know. It's just nice to in a way, it's kind of replaced by leg workouts, which is not necessarily a good thing. But it's just I have more fun running than going to the gym and doing legs. So I'm kind of just doing that right now. And it's an excuse to be outside and get some sun because I don't spend enough time outside.
That brings a question to mind, Jacob, I wanted to ask you because I can't remember who asked me this recently. And I've been talking to Zach about this too. Zach's been trying to get back into exercise, but it's trickier for him because he's married and has two very young children. So keeping a relatively consistent schedule has been a challenge for him. But what has it been for you throughout all these years? Apart, of course, from your enjoyment of it, has there ever been a particular motivator that's kept you going back even on the days when you're completely exhausted, on the days you're just not in the mood? For everyone, it can be a little different, but there's always that singular or maybe times multiple motivators that keep you going back on like your most discouraging days.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely have those, and there are days where I should go, where I skip, but I don't know. Like, I've always said this, but when you do it for so long, it almost feels shameful or like it's like ingrained into me at this point.
It's almost like you skipped work or like skipped class at school or something.
Yeah.
It's like you feel like you skipped something really important.
Like almost every day I go to work, it's like ingrained into me either to go to the gym before or after. Like, it's not even a question. Like, I am going. Like I never have like the problem where I'm like getting like I'm off work. I'm like sitting in my car. I'm like, maybe I just don't go to the gym today. Like that doesn't happen to me. Like I go. Like I just, it's not even a question. So I don't know. I don't know if I necessarily have advice. It's really just about building habits, just like anything else that you do in life.
Yeah, very much. That's the thing I was thinking in regard to how you built that habit is what initially motivated you.
Yeah. Well, it probably wasn't like good reasons, that. If we're being honest. Like I was a younger kid, like I wanted to look a certain way. So I went to the gym and like, and there were people along the way that like showed me what I should be doing. And it like shaped me to be able to like build my own workouts and stuff like that. Cause like, it's never easy just like going to the gym, not knowing anything. Like that's right. Really intimidating. And I can really sympathize with someone that like wants to lose a lot of weight or wants to be in shape. And like, they literally just don't know how to do anything. Like all the machines are foreign to them. Everyone's just in there like throwing around big weights and you're like a little shrimp, I guess. Like you don't know what you're doing and you're just like
that
intimidated.
They're doing an exercise that looks like they have an idea of how you're supposed to do it and they're just not doing it correctly. So you're thinking like, man, you're literally not accomplishing anything right now.
I
and
see
I'm not like a trainer. So I never feel like it's my right to correct anyone and I never do, but I always feel bad. I'm like, man, that person probably comes in here 5 days a week doing that exact exercise and it's doing nothing.
Yeah. Oh, I see a guy that comes into the gym that I go to. He does decline bench press and bicep curls every day. Every day that I see him.
Every day.
He only does those two things.
Out of his mind?
No, he's like slightly overweight and he does two exercises and then he leaves.
Man.
I just don't get it at all.
I mean, if anything, he's burning some calories at least.
I guess.
If that's what he's going
for. Why didn't he just get on a treadmill?
depends on what your goals are.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know, man. The gym's never been a problem for me. There have been seasons in my life where it's been more annoying to go and like, I just don't want to be there more than other times. I don't know. It's really hard for me to sort of tell what someone should do. Does Zach have a gym membership or is he just thinking about what he should do?
He's doing all like mostly calisthenics type stuff when he can.
Okay. I mean, the good thing about running is that you could just go outside and do it, you know?
Mm-hmm. And have a heat stroke out here in Georgia.
That's true. Yeah, it's so hot, dude. This week has been miserable. I don't know how much you've been outside.
Not much, man. I feel bad. I'll take Den out to go pee and poop, of course, but we can't stay out there long. Even he doesn't want to be out there long.
Yeah. Another thing that's not helping is I'm wearing these headphones right now that are like foam. And they're like making my head so hot, like I'm sweating.
Mm-hmm.
So this is where we're at.
Well, aside from running a lot, what else have you been up to?
I don't know if there's anything too crazy. Like I always say, it's just a lot of work recently. Been watching a lot of anime, or not just anime, but just one show in particular that I've been watching for a long time. But it's just taking a long time to get through it because there's over 1,000 episodes. And that show's One Piece. So everyone can go like, oh, why is he watching that?
1,000 episodes. That's just ridiculous, dude.
It is insane. I'm finishing up an arc right now that is just incredible, though. It's some of the best anime I've ever watched, Garrett. I'll tell you.
Yeah, I've heard that a handful of times now about many shows that have hundreds of thousands of episodes.
Hey, they got to build up to it, man. Just 100 episodes at a time.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of filler, unfortunately. But the filler would... it always pays off once you get through all that. You're like, man, I spent all this time building this storyline and now it's paying off because this cool moment's happening. Besides that, been trying to play some games, not really succeeding or just getting tired of the games that I've been playing recently. So I want to throw out a recommendation or a request to the community. I'm looking for something new to play and I don't really know what I want to play.
Hunt Showdown with me.
I could try Hunt Showdown.
I think we've been talking about playing that game together for 2 years.
Years.
Now.
Mm-hmm. Let me see if I still have it downloaded.
It's a very good game. I haven't played in quite a while either, but I would gladly play with you.
Hunt Showdown. I don't have it installed.
I've been really wanting to play some Modern Warfare 2019, just standard multiplayer, because I'm excited for the new Modern Warfare.
I did play Fortnite with you and Zach not too long ago.
Yeah, that was kind of fun.
I think
got
Preston
a little Fortnite
might have
kick been? For a little while. The zero build mode brought us back to Fortnite for a bit, and it was pretty cool.
Yeah. Got to fool around with some lightsabers. That was fun.
Yeah, that was a good time.
But yeah, if anyone in the community, you know, they're listening to this, you're like, man, I'm really enjoying this game right now. Let me know what it is, because like, it's not that I have a problem with not playing games all the time. It's not like I don't want to take a break from playing games, but I don't know. I like having a game that I can just, if I got nothing to do one night, got an hour or two to kill. It's nice to have something excited to jump into, I guess. And I don't really have that right now. But I'll talk a little bit about what I've been playing here in a little bit. After Garrett shares what he's been doing with his life these last couple
months. Just working, brother.
Just working.
Just working. Just filming stuff and hanging with some great dudes.
Yeah.
So that's pretty much it. One it's like somewhat interesting. We interviewed Billy Aaron, who was Hank Aaron's wife.
Ooh.
And Hank Aaron, as we know, passed away. I think it was last year or 2 years ago. And so we interviewed her at her house, which was a pretty majestic place. And she was a very sweet lady. And she had basically a Hank Aaron museum in her basement, which was pretty cool. Baseball bats, baseballs, ton of photos. So that was kind of cool being there and seeing all that stuff.
It was cool.
But yeah, nothing else really to report on work-wise. Just
I saw that
grateful
you,
to be doing it.
So I saw a couple things from you. I think the last week I saw your video on Instagram with the how hot it was. That was really funny.
Oh, yeah. I've had a good time with Reels recently.
Yeah. And then I think you interviewed, you did something with the former president of, was it at CNN?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Tom Johnson? I can't remember his name. Tom something, but yeah, CNN and LA Times. And yeah, he'd worked with a couple of different presidents and he had a lot of cool pictures too.
Yeah. Thought that was pretty cool.
But yeah, he was a nice guy.
That's good, man.
That was for the same project, interviewing both of them. Interviewed a handful of people like that in this past week. But nothing else, Jacob. Literally nothing. Just work and sometimes video games. Seen some decent movies, watched some okay shows. But that kind of brings us to our next question. Broken Gamer writes in and asks, aside from gaming, what other hobbies do you try to spend your free time on? And for me, it's really just watching movies, working out. It's pretty much it. I lead a very vanilla life these days, Jacob.
Yeah, that's not bad. I find a lot of comfort sometimes in a routine. Like I feel off if I'm not doing the things that I feel like I should be doing every single day.
Yeah. I mean, there's more I'd like to be doing. I really want to go surfing this summer. I really want to go on more hikes. I'd like to go to the lake. More outdoor stuff. I just don't really have anyone to do it with. And I'm not opposed to doing things by myself, but that kind of stuff I feel like is always more fun with at least one other person.
For sure.
So we'll see. Maybe in time.
Maybe you can get down to go take a trip or something.
I don't know. We'll think about it. Maybe there's somewhere we could go in July. Maybe in July. Anyway, what other hobbies do you spend your free time on recently, Jacob?
Like I said, running.
Apart from running.
It's been a big thing.
Yeah. Running, the gym.
Some light reading I do a lot. Or not a lot, but okay. You know, sometimes I'll do some reading. For me, instead of movies, it's been more of shows. For example, Stranger Things. Finished that up. I thought it was pretty good. Really enjoyed it. But yeah,
you say Stranger Things?
Yes.
Yeah, I think season 4 has been phenomenal. I think it's really, really good.
But it was really well done. Enjoyed all the new characters, or the same characters, but there were a few new ones. Let's see. But yeah, it's mainly just, like, if I'm not playing games, it's some other form of media. It'll be shows. It'll be podcasts. Not as many podcasts as it used to be. I used to listen to a lot, but not so much anymore. I'll listen to music. Really get into music sometimes. Just stuff like that. Nothing crazy.
when you say it like that, I just imagine you like sitting in your room with a pair of headphones on listening to music.
I've done that. Yeah. That happens.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's just a funny thing to think about. Sometimes I like to have a seat and listen to some tunes.
For sure. I mean, no joke. Like,
and that's what people used to do back in the day. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's weird, though. When I listen to music, I feel like I have to be doing something along with it. Like driving, working out, walking.
Yeah. Usually when
it's
I listen
that
to
I just
music,
sit still and listen
it's
to music.
When I'm working out or driving. But there are exceptions, like when a new album comes out that I'll, like on a Thursday night, I'll just sit down and listen to it. It's like it's a whole experience. It's nice.
I think the last time I did that was when A Day to Remember's album was Common Courtesy, which was a long time ago.
I love that album.
Yeah, when that album came out, I knew it was a big deal because it was like their last album with Victory Records, whatever. And there was like all this drama surrounding it. So I wanted to like sit down and just listen to it from beginning to end. I remember I sat on our couch in our old apartment and listened to it from beginning to end.
Wow, that was a long time ago.
The last time I did that with an album.
I mean, I used to do that with every Linkin Park release. Like if I wasn't taking a drive somewhere, I would just sit down and blare it over some speakers. But yeah, I did it recently with Post Malone's new album. I'm a big Post Malone fan. And I really enjoyed his new album. So
yeah. Big Colt writes in. Big Colt!
Oh man.
What's good, players? Oh yeah, yeah. I gotta say this correctly. He's like, hey yo, what's good, players? I'm gonna keep it real with y'all. For real, no cap. How you feeling about Starfield and also the Obi-Wan show? Is they big yikes? Or does they have you finna bus? I miss and love y'all on God. That's no cap. And translated, that is, what's up, guys? I'm gonna keep it real with y'all. For real. No joke. How are you feeling about Starfield and also the Obi-Wan show? Are they not good? Or do they have you really excited? I miss and love y'all, and I mean that, no joke.
Thank you for translating.
Of course. So we'll get back to Starfield when we talk about Xbox, but Obi-Wan I've been mostly very disappointed with, I'm going to be completely honest.
Mm-hmm. I haven't watched it.
I think it is extremely average, and not all of it's, I don't think it's even, I wouldn't even call it bad, I just think it could have been so much more engaging and interesting. Personally, I think it was a terrible idea to introduce this like B plot with, I mean, the Leia stuff is something, but, and there's too many like layers to unpack from Obi-Wan that I'm not going to bore everyone with. But, I think the whole third sister Reva storyline is just, it was super predictable. And I'm one of those people, I think her performance is pretty weak. Honestly, I felt no emotional weight from her performance whatsoever. I don't even think it's a bad character. It has nothing to do with who they chose to play that character. I just think the character is very boring. And I think it comes down to the writing. The writing is just very poor. So her performance just doesn't really shine through to me. So every scene she's in has been pretty disengaging. I'm one of those people that believed it should have just been a very strict character study between Obi-Wan and Vader the whole time, pretty much. Not like in a repetitive sense, but it should have been really focused on the two of them the whole time. And that's why I think the most recent episode, although it also has some very dumb stuff in it, was the most interesting because it focused on the two of them primarily. So because of that, I've been disappointed. And there's like so many illogical goofs they've had with camera work and decisions some characters make that have just really made me question how they went from writing to pre-production to production through editing. And they still wound up on Disney Plus. And the state that they're in is just fascinating to me. So I've been disappointed by it. I look forward to the finale because supposedly we're still getting the quote unquote rematch of the century. Mm-hmm. We'll see all the lightsaber fights, apart from the one in the most recent episode, which I won't spoil. That is a flashback. That was pretty cool. I really enjoyed that scene. But everything else has been pretty weak.
That's disappointing.
What was it? So Obi-Wan's a big yikes for me, Big Colt.
So you're not finna bust?
No, I'm not finna bust with Obi-Wan, no.
Oh, my God. So I have a story about, or a very slight comment about bus. There's a, in my WoW guild, there's a guy named Bus. And there's a song called Bussin' by Nicki Minaj. And every time he gets online and voice, I'll start playing the song over my mic. And that's really funny. That's all I had to share. So every time I hear or see Bus or Bussin', I think of that.
Finna Bus.
Have you ever heard the song Bussin'?
I think so.
Okay. You would know if you've heard it. It's very memorable.
Mm-hmm.
In classic Nicki Minaj style. Yeah, I haven't seen Obi-Wan. So maybe I don't need to watch it. I mean, I probably will because Obi-Wan was a big part of my childhood. So it would feel weird not to watch that. And I'm sure there's going to be a big, you know, collision between Vader and Obi-Wan at the very end. So I'll definitely want to see that.
Certainly hope so. We're going to find out on Wednesday.
I have a lot of stuff to catch up on Disney Plus too.
Yeah, lots come out. What else is, I don't even feel like talking about it. We're moving on. What have you been playing, Jacob?
So I've been playing WoW, and I've recently kind of stopped playing it pretty much all together this week. Just kind of got bored of the weekly grind. Other people stopped playing. One guy on my guild got banned. It was a guy that I played with a lot. He's just banned for a month, but I just have less and less motivation to play right now. There's nothing new coming out, so just figured it was time to unsub and do something else. So I've been trying to supplement that with like a new game that came out called Diablo Immortal. That game is certainly interesting in some decisions that they made to monetize, for sure. Pretty much every aspect of that game, you are at a severe disadvantage if you aren't giving them money for either buying resources or having access to a certain kind of content that drops more gear or gems for you. Basically, there's no reason that you should ever play the game if you're not going to pay the money to progress faster. Otherwise, you're just going to be severely wasting your time. And, you know, I played it for probably 2 weeks, I would say. And I don't want to say that I didn't enjoy my time. But in terms of... So I will say this. I wasn't a completely free-to-play player. I bought the Battle Pass, which is like $4.99 in the US. So that gave me access to like a... Excuse me. Got some burps this morning. I had 2 cups of coffee.
Coffee makes you burp?
Yeah, it does. A lot. What was I saying? Oh, so the Battle Pass. There's 40 levels in the Battle Pass. Basically, anything you do in the game like gives you experience towards it. So it's pretty generous in that regard. There's a free track, and then there's like a pay track, just like most Battle Passes. So I probably got through like 20 levels of the free, and I was like, okay, you know, I'm already, like, I'm enjoying the game right now. I'm leveling up this Battle Pass anyway. It'd be cool to get some little cosmetics, so spend some money on that, and that's pretty much all the money that I've spent. And I don't necessarily regret my decision in that, because I've unlocked some cool things. It's made the free-to-play experience slightly better. Like, I've been getting resources as I've been playing the game more, and it's helped me like kind of gear my character a little more. And I did choose to play the Necromancer. I think you also mentioned that you were playing and you tried that. I don't think you played for very long, but so I had never played the Necromancer in D3, so I wanted to at least try it in this one. And I know it's coming in 4 too, but I just wanted to play something new. So at this point, I finished the story. I think I finished it a few nights ago.
Dang, that's impressive.
Yeah, it wasn't too long. It was maybe...
You did that with just paying for the Battle Pass?
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
That's the only money I've spent so far.
Do you play mostly on your phone or PC?
Both. Cool. Mostly, I would say on PC. Like sometimes
does it feel
I would,
as mobile-y on PC, or does it feel pretty good?
Yeah, I'm gonna get into that. It's it's not good.
That's the thing on phone. I've played probably like an hour and a half on my phone, and I think it plays really well.
It does,
being a mobile phone game.
It really does, and that's what's unfortunate, is that like it's actually a pretty good feeling game. And all things considered, like it's simple enough to work on a phone and it feels really good in tandem with that. But the problem is that like everything that the game's built around is just, it takes advantage of the consumer in every way. Like it's like this game is built for people that are going to spend the thousands of dollars on it. Like no question about it. Like this is just
a thinking about
cash
that, dude,
cow.
It's like, I'm at a point where I just couldn't care less about people complaining about it anymore, because the reason companies continue to do this and will always do this going forward is because there are many, many people who pay for this stuff without batting an eye. Mm-hmm. And every publisher wants at least one cash cow where people just constantly pay for stuff.
Yeah.
And so long as there's a team updating content and a reasonable amount of time as a live service game, I mean, I don't think there's any harm in that. I mean, I can understand the frustration with an existing franchise that implements practices like this can be very frustrating, but it was pitched, I mean, it was presented even initially as a mobile game, and most mobile games are monetized to hell and back. So people were honestly mentally prepared for what was to come. Now, granted, people have claimed it's like the most monetized game in history. That's a whole nother conversation, but
it feels like it.
I can understand the frustration, but it isn't a mainline Diablo game. It is technically a separate game. And while it is annoying, I imagine, for the most hardcore fans to feel like they are at a disadvantage without paying money. I feel like the whole reason this game was developed was to have that constant cash influx.
Yeah.
And that being said, I think even apart from that, what little I've played, I think it's developed well. I think it plays well. I think it looks cool. It sounds great. So as a very casual Diablo fan, although we're both extremely stoked for 4, which we're going to talk about, I don't feel even remotely bad about what they've done with it, because they're going to probably make a ton of money off it. There's plenty of people out there that aren't even part of the dramatic conversation surrounding that situation. So I'm kind of just whatever about it at this point.
Yeah, I understand that. And I think that's how like most people feel about it. Like they don't really like I did watch a lot of content surrounding the game, just because, you know, I like to consume content on like YouTube and various sites where, like, if I'm really into a game, I like knowing a lot about it. That's just me as a person. But like I was just watching all this content as time went on. Like, people would just like, just through consuming all this stuff, like I'm learning every single way that this game is like taking advantage of a consumer. And it just becomes more and more apparent that the way that I'm wanting to play the game is not going to be a good decision to make. Like, progressing through this game, playing the end game as a free-to-play player did not feel like a good use of my time. So that's why I've chosen to kind of step away from it. But if I was like in a situation where, you know, like assuming that Blizzard hadn't done all these like shady things and they weren't in this like situation that they've been in the last year or so, and I had a lot of disposable income, maybe I would, you know, enjoy throwing a lot of money at this game. But I'm going to tell you, that's definitely not where I am right now. And like, as someone that really liked D3, and at least after they made some changes after release, the release product is a little rough, especially with the real money auction house. But I will say a lot of people have like started to worry about D4 because they're like, they've seen what's been made with Diablo Immortal. And then they're like, man, like, how is D4 going to be monetized now? Like, is this the new Blizzard? Like, are they just going to throw in like, hey, $4.99 experience boost, you can level up faster? Or like, hey, $4.99 and you can buy this amount of gold in D4. Like, I mean, we have no idea what they're going to do, but I hope that they don't do any of that. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I have to hope that there's no pay to win. I mean, I think they said in their like interviews that the only thing you're going to be able to buy is like cosmetic skins and DLCs.
Yeah, I'm of the mindset with all existing franchises, I want to implement microtransactions, have like a separate entity that is created for. Like, I think if Immortal was their monetized free-to-play game, by all means, like if people want to pay an arm and a leg to level up faster, progress faster, then let them do that if they want. But with mainline entries in any series, and Diablo in this case, I'm hoping that 4 is just your standard pay, $60-$70 for the full experience. And of course, they'll update it over time and maybe they'll have like an auction house or something, whatever. But don't tarnish it with microtransactions, because we've seen the harm that can be done in other franchises that previously didn't have that. And then it's implemented and people have an uproar about it. And sometimes for good reason. I think it's always worth having those conversations, and sometimes they're absolutely necessary. But I also think there's sort of like a meta conversation to be had about YouTubers and Twitter personalities that make money off of complaining about microtransactions. It's like that their whole channel is built on complaining about things.
Sure.
And every time microtransactions come around, they're technically making money off of complaining about it in a video, which is hilarious to think about.
Have you seen what some of these guys are doing? Like, no. Some of these influencers, They've been justifying that they're going to throw as much money into Diablo Immortal as they can, just so that they can show the consumer how bad it is.
Oh, yeah, they're going to show them, all right.
Yeah. So they're spending all this money and doing what they complain about and showing how bad it is. Just so, and they're justifying it because they're showing everyone what's wrong with the game.
Blizzard's just smiling through it all.
Blizzard's raking in all the money and they're doing exactly what you shouldn't be doing.
And that's exactly why they made the game the way it is, because of people doing that.
Yeah. And they're like justifying it because they're like, oh, this is stream content. This is for my channel. Which, you know, I'll put more power to them. They're probably getting a lot of views from it. It just feels scummy.
Whatever, man. It ain't for me.
Yeah.
It ain't for me.
quite frankly, I just want to stop talking about it. And that's the worst part about Diablo Immortal is that it's at its roots. It's fun to play. When you really break it down, the game modes aren't that fun in the end game. I played a little bit. The gearing's really slow. It's like really spammy. You got to run a lot of the same dungeons all the time. And only like some dungeons drop specific pieces of loot, which isn't bad. Like I'm used to that in like WoW, running dungeons and stuff. But it felt unrewarding, especially as a free-to-play player. Like you just don't unlock things very quickly. And it's like meant to keep you logging in every single day to like so they can like drip feed you little bits of things every couple days or whatever. So and the story's really not that good. Like it's good up until like level 35, then XP really slows down and your leveling gets really slow. And then like the story just isn't satisfying in the end. It doesn't look the best. I know it's on mobile, but like the cutscenes don't look that great. And like a lot of the like Skarn, he's like the big baddie, the big demon in this game. He looks kind of bad too. So that might just be like a subjective thing, but I was disappointed.
Man, at least we've got Deckard Cain. That's all you need, man.
Speaking of which, I started playing D3 this week too.
Cool.
I just, obviously I'm having a Diablo itch right now with Immortal and then 4 being announced at the, what was it? Xbox show.
4 looks so good, dude.
4 looks We're gonna talk about so it. Good. But I jumped back into 3 just because I have nothing to play. And I was like, man, I'm really itching for some Diablo. So started leveling a new Demon Hunter.
Nice.
And I saw that there's like a melee build now for a Demon Hunter. Like you can equip 2 daggers and there's like a legendary set that some of the Demon Hunter abilities, you don't have to be in range or have a bow.
Back to Diablo.
Yeah, because like, I love playing assassins or rogues in games. Mm-hmm. So I was like, man, this is like, I really want to do this. But the only problem is like, it's like an in-game thing. So I have to level all the way through as a demon hunter.
Oh, I think I still have a leveled up demon hunter I could probably do that with.
I think I do too, but I just wanted to play fresh, you know.
Yeah, hunter was my main back in the day.
But
good times.
It's been fun. You know, it's just something that I'm casually playing. It's okay. It still plays really good. Still D3 as you remember it. But it's not really scratching this itch that I feel like I want to. It's not like something that I'm thinking about all the time that I need to come back and play. It's just something to do. But besides that, I think that's all I've really been playing recently. I haven't touched Elden Ring in a little while. And I don't know why I keep going through this thing with FromSoft games where I'll be really into them for a little while and then I'll just cold stop playing them.
That's exactly where I'm at right now.
Like
I'm like super far into it and I probably have maybe a few bosses left, but I also just stopped.
I still think I have quite a bit. Like I got to Morgott, which is Margit, the first boss, but I guess his real form or his like the actual person.
I know
person.
What you're talking about.
But I get him down to like 20% every single time. And then he just absolutely destroys me because he's doing like 10 abilities at one time. But I'll eventually beat him. But it's been a week and a half, I think, since I've actually played the game. So I'm going to like go back into it. Just get my face kicked in. I know it because he's not
easy. I'm at Fire Giant right now.
Okay. Yeah. I haven't gotten there yet. I recently just did. What was that place called? Lava Manor? Fire Manor? What's it called?
Volcano Manor.
Volcano Manor. Thank you. And that
Close
was cool.
Enough.
Well, I got to like the last quest, I think, but I haven't unlocked the area where I need to go to do the last contract. So I just figured I'd go somewhere else and fight another boss, which I have. So I think Morgott's in the capital. So that's where I'm at. I mean, I actually went to the capital before Volcano Manor. And then I like looked up this list of like the order of like what order you should fight the bosses in. So I like went back and fought a lot of bosses that I had missed, which is actually quite a bit. I missed quite a lot of like important bosses without even knowing it, which is cool because I really love in Elden Ring how you can just sort of go anywhere and you'll know if you need to go somewhere else if you just are getting absolutely destroyed by a boss. It's probably a good idea to go fight something else or explore another area of the map,
Which you can definitely do, because there's just, you can go in every direction and you'll find something cool eventually. But I need to get back into Elden Ring. That's probably what I should be playing right now. I need to just grind it out. Because I do want to like try another build. Like I'm just doing a standard two-hander or just a big sword strength build. And I would really like to try magic out. So I've seen some really cool magic spells. But yeah.
Yeah, I'll get back to it at some point. I'm in no rush because there's nothing major coming out really anytime soon. So I'm kind of just whatever about it. I'll eventually finish it.
What have you been playing, dude?
Not much. Like I said, I play Infinite at least once a week with Zach. That's fine. We'll probably play tonight, actually. Ooh. Been playing some really hardcore Halo 3 and Master Chief Collection. I met some guys in a music video we shot a couple of months ago, and they were hardcore Halo fans. And
really?
So we decided to team up, and we've been killing it in Halo 3. And they only play Team BRs, so it's just like the most hardcore of OG Halo guys in that playlist. And that's always a good time. I'm started dabbling in Resident Evil 2 Remake after the Resident Evil stuff we saw at Summer Games Fest and State of Play, whatever it was at. I'm probably not going to like play it a lot, but I just wanted to jump in there and mess around. And I downloaded Uncharted, what is it called? Legacy of Thieves Collection or something on PS5, with the PS5 updates. I'm going to play through a little Uncharted 4, I think, just for fun.
Yeah, Uncharted 4 is so good.
Yeah, that's pretty much it, though. You want to talk about the news?
Yes.
Let's do it. State of play. Let's see.
More
We're not
like
going to talk about
of...
Just talk about the stuff that interests us.
Yes.
Resident Evil 4 Remake is looking good, Jacob, what little we've seen of it.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
I'm very excited for that.
Yeah. I never played RE4. I know that's like a gamer sin, but I've never played
it. Dude, it still plays really well, and you can download it on PS5 right now.
The original?
Mm-hmm. Oh, it's like the HD. It's the HD update, but it's still a really, really good game.
Are the controls really weird?
They're not. I mean, they're definitely abnormal, but you get used to it very quickly.
Yeah.
And you can also change them in the settings to be a little more traditional if you want.
I feel that.
So I recommend you check it out, Jacob. Seriously.
You know, I should, but I won't.
Why not?
I do not like playing old games. I can't do it. Like, I have like a threshold of where I'll go back to. And if it's like past the PS3, I'm probably not going to do it. I can't explain to you why. I just don't want to do it.
I get that. You are going to play the remake though, right?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
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 I'm very excited for it. And I'm glad the team that did Resident Evil 2 Remake is in control. So I have a lot of high hopes for it.
Speaking of which, they're adding I might be jumping ahead a little bit, but in the new DLC for Village, they are adding a third person mode to the original game.
Mm-hmm.
And that has me excited.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'm going to replay that whole game because I really like Village, but I didn't like it enough to ever imagine myself playing through it again.
Yeah, it definitely had some pacing issues, I feel like, but I enjoyed it overall. It was cool to like to go through different. It was almost like different chapters within the game. Like every chapter had a different feel and theme. And it was cool. Some of it was really creepy. Some of it was just, you know, spooky. Some of it was just kind of freaky. It was cool. And then the ending is just crazy.
Yeah. I would mess around in VR and PSVR 2 just because we enjoyed, was it Biohazard 7 together in VR? Mm-hmm. It'd be fun to replay that in VR.
I'll never forget that. That was so fun. I'd like to go back and play 3.
Oh, the remake of 3?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was underwhelming too. I heard they cut a lot of content out of it. I was really disappointed when they reduced the gore and physics in the 3 remake after 2. So a lot of it was disappointing. It plays fine, but it's not as good as the 2 remake, I don't think.
Yeah.
But yeah, RE4 remake is meant to be a retelling and kind of reimagined, of course, graphically and with modern controls and everything. But even the story is going to be restructured a little bit, I think, to be a bit darker and more dramatic, because the original is pretty campy and ridiculous in a really fun way. But I think they're kind of going for a darker tone in 4. And visually, that's already evident. But it'll be interesting to see what they do with the narrative as well.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, March cannot get here soon enough, dude. I'm so excited for that. I mean, just really just action horror games in general. We have so many good ones coming. We have that. We have Callisto Protocol, which we're going to talk about. And even the Dead Space 1 remake. So
definitely.
A lot of good stuff.
Can we take a quick sidestep into like, I want to talk about Horizon for a second.
Okay.
Not necessarily about like the stuff that they showed at the state of play, but like, I know you played Forbidden West, correct?
I played a little bit of it. I've hardly touched it because I was shocked at how bored I got of that game.
Right. That's what I want to ask you. Like, so yeah, that's a game that's been on my backlog and it's something I feel like I should play because I really liked the first one.
I am going to finish it for sure. I just was when it was the Elden Ring thing. Elden Ring was so much more interesting and fun that it obliterated my interest in Horizon at the time. But I will go back to it at some point. I still have it installed.
So I guess my question is, like, I feel like I should finish Elden Ring and then I might go into that. And like, I was just going to ask, do you think I should play it? Because you said you really did not think it was that
good.
Have
you started it?
I don't even own it.
Dude, I'll tell you what killed it for me. The intro is such a boring slog that when I got to the actual game, I didn't even want to play it anymore.
That's
so
really,
if you can get through the boring slog, then by all means, because it is a much better game when you get there, but it's like a lot of work to get there.
It's really pretty though, right? Like, I've seen videos of the game.
It is very beautiful. Yeah.
It seems like really, really good.
In terms of just visuals, modern games, it's one of the best looking games out right now, for sure.
See, that might be enough for me to buy it. Because I like that stuff.
They've made a few enhancements to it, too, since it initially launched. Like, originally, their performance mode is 60 FPS. It's really fuzzy looking. It didn't look very crisp, but I think they've updated it since then to look much better.
Okay. That might be where I put my attention. We'll see.
But yeah, the Call of the Mountain VR Horizon game looks like it'd be pretty cool. Now, I'm down to try anything in VR, honestly. I'm pretty excited for PSVR 2. I might buy a Quest 2 at some point as well. We'll see. Because I don't play enough VR to really justify a purchase right now. Mm-hmm. Just between Resident Evil and Call of the Mountain, that stuff looks pretty cool. And even The Walking Dead, Saints and Sinners, Chapter 2, Retribution, man, that's quite the title. looks fun as well. Other ones that interest us, Final Fantasy 16 launching next summer.
Gary, you're not interested in that.
Story and gameplay look pretty cool. I hear a lot of people kind of criticizing and they're kind of concerned about the combat looking a little too Devil May Cry-like. I don't play enough Final Fantasy, and I'm not invested enough in the franchise to really critique it or have a strong opinion on that. So I'll just have to wait and see. But I do think the game looks awesome, and I look forward to playing it.
I agree. I thought the trailer was really cool. Seems like you're just going to be able to transform into a titan, or like you're going to be fighting people that can do that, which is really cool. Mm-hmm. I think the combat looks amazing in this game. That's mostly what I'm looking forward to, is just seeing where you can go and how the combat works. At first glance, it looks really cool. I'm much more excited about this one than I was about 15. I'll say that. Not that I didn't enjoy 15. And I know you didn't think it was the best game ever. we joked about that in the past. But I think that was mostly what we got at State of Play. That's not a whole lot.
Yeah. I mean, it's cool that Spider-Man's coming to PC. And I'm more than happy with Spider-Man on PS5 just running at 60 FPS. It looks gorgeous. So I won't be playing it on PC, but I am interested to see what mods people come up with for Spider-Man on PC.
Me too.
So that'd be cool.
I know Frosty was really
excited.
Any
game that goes to PC, I look forward to seeing mods. My most anticipated game by far is the Callisto Protocol. I keep forgetting his name. The original creator of Dead Space is directing at his new studio, but obviously looks very Dead Space, but it looks like the true spiritual successor, true sequel to the original Dead Space, which is awesome. And this is coming from someone who recently played Dead Space 2. I've almost finished Dead Space 3. And while 2 and 3, I think 2 is a great sequel to the first game, but and 3, I've surprisingly have not hated. It's a very different experience, but I don't think it's a bad game. But Callisto Protocol is very much a return to form for that style of gameplay. And I'm just blown away by the gore system they've implemented, the environments, presentation, all just looks top tier.
Yeah.
And I love games like that. So I very much look forward to getting my hands on that one. And it's this year, too. I love that it was announced just recently and it comes out at the end of this year is awesome.
Yeah, that is crazy. You think it'll get delayed?
Just been quietly working on it. No, definitely not. They wouldn't have waited this long to announce it and it come this year if they're going to delay it. So I'm confident we're going to play it this year, but it looks sick. So very
excited.
The
man you're thinking interesting. Of, by the way, is Glenn Schofield.
That's what it was. Okay. It's interesting. It's coming out right before the Dead Space 1 remake. And I'm almost concerned that it's going to make Dead Space 1 feel vastly inferior. Although Dead Space 1 still holds up. It's still a great game.
Yeah. Well, it's being remade, right? Like, it's not just a remaster.
Yeah, it's a complete remake from the ground up. And that's out in January, I think.
That one, I think, is more likely to be delayed. I don't know why. just a, maybe. It's a gamer.
They've been doing a lot of interesting updates over the last several months. Just keeping people informed keeping up on where they're at and everything.
Is EA having like their own summer show? Are they doing that?
Not that I know of.
Ubisoft is like announcing Assassin's Creed later this year, but I don't know if they're doing a show either. I don't know. I feel out of the loop.
Yeah, I'm trying to keep up. It's been a lot this summer. It's very much, it's like the feeling of E3, just not at E3. It's kind of all spread out,
mm-hmm.
different events, but it's been cool. It's been quite the influx of news for new games that are coming. Mm-hmm. Summer Games Fest, obviously we're not talking about everything because there's a lot, and we're only really talking about the stuff that stands out to us most. Modern Warfare 2 from Infinity Ward, and frankly, every single Activision studio working on it, which is just fascinating, which explains why the game looks amazing, will definitely play well. I have very high hopes for Modern Warfare 2, because of course I love the original. This has nothing to do with the original, but 2019's Modern Warfare is still outstanding to me. It's by far the best Call of Duty to come out in a long time, and I have the utmost confidence in Infinity Ward with everything they do with Call of Duty. With them leading, I'm confident it's going to be awesome. And the one campaign mission they released, of course, looks like Call of Duty. But interestingly, I felt it looked slower than even 2019's Modern Warfare, which is totally fine with me. I'm down for like a more, I guess there's no better way to say it, just like a slower paced Call of Duty. And I think the most ridiculous Call of Duty to come out in a long time was Vanguard last year, which was it's a fine game. Like I don't think it's bad by any means, but you were so lightning fast in that game. It was hysterical to me, especially because really? It took place in World War II. It was just crazy how chaotic the multiplayer was. I had fun playing it. I did capture for COG before the game came out, and I had a lot of fun playing it. I'm like, this is exhausting. You finish a match, and you feel like you just ran 10 miles. It was crazy. It looks like they've slowed it down a bit, even more so than 2019 and Modern Warfare 2. I've even heard rumors they're going to have a Tarkov inspired experience, which is ultra realistic, no HUD. A game mode like that, I think it'd be really sick to see Infinity Ward tackle, because I like Tarkov a lot, but it is by far the most hardcore, unforgiving shooter I've ever played.
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be cool to see Call of Duty put their spin on that, kind of like they did with Battle Royale.
Yeah, exactly. There's going to be a new Warzone experience, what they're calling Warzone 2.0.
Yeah, coming out shortly after the release of the mainline game.
Mm-hmm.
And I like Warzone. Zach and I still play Warzone from time to time, but I really want to get back into standard multiplayer, especially with this game.
Yeah, I think this is the one to do it for sure. And I think after this one, they're going to take a year off. So
yeah, I've heard I've heard mixed messaging on what they plan to do. I really wish they would just take 2 to 3 years off in between Call of Duties and give the development studios more time. But I've heard they're going to do like, for example, Modern Warfare 2 will come out this year, and then next year will be like some supplemental title that like works in tandem with it or something. Mm-hmm. It's really confusing what they're describing.
I think they should just every 2 or 3 years release a Call of Duty game and then have another team that's just in charge of like making sure the live game is getting new content, like new maps, new guns, and just like keep updating the game, like with seasons and whatnot. I just think you need to have a team making the games and then another team keeping the games alive. I think that's what I would, if for some reason I was in charge of the franchise, that's where my headspace would be at, I think. I don't think we need a game every year anymore. It's just too much. Like, they're making way more money than they would with just updates and seasons than they would with just $60 game releases every year.
I kind of just wish they would have Infinity Ward lead Call of Duty development every 3 years and then have the other Call of Duty studios just support them every 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that way everyone's still working, but they're all focusing on the next singular Call of Duty game. They have a lot more time to spend on what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I would prefer that, but we'll see.
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird though, because you have Treyarch that has made really good Call of Duty games, then you have Infinity Ward who's made really good games. So it's like you kind of want both of those teams making games because they've both had really good success. Yeah, I just don't know how that would work. Like, I don't know what their plans are. But don't get me wrong, really excited for this game. I mean, actually, I wouldn't say really excited. I didn't buy last year's Call of Duty, but I probably will get this one just because of the 2019.
Midnight Fight Express was shown off. I played the demo on PC. It was okay. I think the trailer looks way cooler than the game actually plays. It plays fine. I shouldn't say that. It was kind of okay. Wasn't as cool as the trailer made it look.
Mm-hmm.
I felt.
Yeah, I don't.
Man, so many games were announced at Summer Games Fest. I've heard the Shredder's Revenge Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles game reviewed well.
I keep seeing people
never
going to
play
it. What do you think about Gotham Knights?
looks terrible. Like, I think it looks truly awful. And I'm not a negative person, dude, but I think it just looks objectively bad.
Yeah,
animations look dumb. The ideas are stupid. It's clearly going to be monetized. They're definitely going to release it, and people are going to play it, but I'm going to skip that one, I think. Metal Hellsingers was shown off. I played the demo for COG as well. It's a pretty cool game. Nightingale, Saints Row, Layers of Fears. the Warhammer 40K Darktide looks kind of cool. I've only played a couple of Warhammer games, like dabbled in them, but it looks pretty cool. They're trying to FPS. Yeah, same team that made Vermintide 2, which is pretty gnarly melee focus game, medieval. What do you think about The Last of Us Part 1 remake, Jacob?
I don't care. I think it's cool, but I don't really care, I'm going to be honest. I'm not really in a spot where I want to replay it right now. But I think the improvements that they made is, I think it's definitely cool. It's going to make replaying the first one a much better experience. Not that it was bad, you know, because it was a, I mean, it's been remade twice now, right? But this is like a bigger remake as far as I've heard.
No, it was just remastered from PS3 to PS4 with very minor visual enhancements, 60 FPS. But this is a complete ground up remake. And when you see the really great examples of the leap they've made graphically, it's astounding what roughly 10 years can do. Now, I mean, it'll be under 10 years when it releases, but just under 10 years. But it is staggering what they've accomplished visually. And I love that they said they've improved AI and the combat in the game plays much more like the sequel in part two. And the combat in the sequel is excellent to me.
I agree.
They've also, of course, added DualSense features, haptic feedback, all that kind of stuff will be also really great. Improved audio. So those additions also have me excited. And I haven't played the original in a long time. And I haven't replayed Part 2 as much as I really love Part 2. Mainly because I've been waiting for like a true PS5 upgrade rather than just 60 frames. I could have sworn they were going to announce like not like a remake or anything, or even like an up-res, but just additional PS5 features. I was expecting, maybe they won't do it. I'm just going to avoid all things Last of Us until this remake comes out, because I'm definitely going to play it again.
Yeah.
I'm sure they have multiple motivators for remaking it. One, just because it's similar to what they did with, what game was it? I think the remaster on PS4 for The Last of Us taught them the hardware really well, and that's what they used to move into Uncharted 4 and everything else they did on the PS4. And they were open about that. So I'm wondering if they've used the remake from the ground up and the one to even better understand the PS5 hardware, and they will apply everything they learned about the hardware to their next IP, and also of course the factions multiplayer mode they have come, which we'll talk about in a minute. But I think another reason is that this really makes 1 and 2 look nearly identical graphically and just presentation wise and play the same, so that way when the show comes out, which will garner even more attention than the series already has, I think it'd be cool for brand new fans to be like, wow, like I really want to play these games, to go back and be able to play a gorgeous part one and a gorgeous part two that both play and look amazing. It's like a perfect package deal, like the full experience.
I think you're right.
Even though the original plays wonderfully still, like even on PS3 and PS4, it's still a phenomenal experience. But this really, I think it just will be a nice presentation to have two games that look really, really good and play very well side by side, and even titled part one and part two. I think part of their motivation was to learn the hardware and also the show coming. I think it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Yeah. You made some good points there. I agree.
But we won't dwell too hard on The Last of Us multiplayer that's coming next year. That's obviously large scale, taking place in San Francisco. They've given no details, but I know we've speculated about this for a couple of years now, but I'm hoping it's not necessarily a battle royale in its traditional sense, but has battle royale like elements where it's basically massive factions where you have your little town we've fantasized about that you have to provide for and find supplies, kind of like you do in the main story where you're collecting resources. But you go into a like battle royale inspired match that plays a lot like factions. You can go in with teams or squads. And the point, aside from just surviving, there will be like NPCs and clickers and infected that you have to deal with in addition to real players. So that way, when you stumble into like a town and you see other players, it's like you would in the main game, see like a group of enemies you need to take out. You can either stealthily take them out, go in all guns blazing. Maybe there's even like NPC, like enemy NPCs as well, like just human beings that you have to fight. And there's also real players, and you go in to scavenge and find materials to like build up your survival camp or whatever, kind of like in Factions. It was all just menu based. You'd go in, you'd collect resources, you'd kill any players. You'd be like, oh, like there's people in your village or whatever that are sick. You need this, that, or whatever resource to collect to heal them. Like there's a menu that kept track of all that, but it'd be cool to like physically go to it in this mode. And it'd be on like on a larger scale. So it looks like that's what they're showing in this concept art. So
yeah,
I'd even be down within this multiplayer to have like a traditional Factions mode that's just match based, and smaller arenas could be cool too, but also have this bigger mode would be awesome.
Yeah, I agree. It does definitely seem like it's going to be a large scale sort of Factions like was in Last of Us 1. I kind of also want it to sort of feel like you remember The Division, the Dark Zone? I hope it's a lot like that in some ways too. Like
that's kind of how I've always imagined it. Something like that.
Like I want there to be just as many like things to do. Like I want objectives and I want reasons to do those objectives and I want them to feel rewarding, I guess. And like, I want there to be like things to earn and like, I don't want it to just be about killing other players, I guess. Which, if it was just that, I think it would still be fun. I just think they have a real opportunity to do something cool and unique here. So I do hope that they take a lot of risks and try some interesting things.
Me too.
I remember like we didn't play it for very much, but we used to play the original multiplayer in Last of Us 1. And that like it was really fun. Like it was very tactical. It's very much about like communicating with your team and trying to figure out where everyone is. And whoever gets the jump really is the victor in those scenarios most of the time. And I think Last of Us 2, I know it's not going to be a Last of Us 2 extension. It's going to be its own game. But I think like in that game in particular, there's a lot of good like things you can use. There's a lot of different, like there's a lot of utility. There's like traps, there's grenades, there's Molotovs. There's all kinds of stuff that you can just use to make a mode like that interesting, I think. And then you have the crafting too, which I know is going to be a big part of that game. So it'll be about like, will there be like a pre-game where you're trying to scavenge a bunch of resources? Or will that be like they have like a real opportunity to like, make like it doesn't even have to be like a quick thing that you match into. It could be like spend this much time going around doing objectives to get resources to better help you have a better chance when you're fighting the other faction or the enemy players.
It's kind of like that in Tarkov. If you run out of resources, they have a secondary mode that still includes real players, but it's only there so you can scavenge material so you can actually go into another real match.
Yeah, I'm definitely excited for it. Not necessarily excited much for the Last of Us 1 stuff, but this had my attention.
I also like, this is going to sound crazy, but stick with me. I also like how Factions is not included in the remake of Last of Us Part 1, because Factions still exists on its own that you can still play in the original. But I think it's cool that the new multiplayer Last of Us experience will be standalone, because I feel like it'd be kind of lopsided and strange. And this is just me, maybe. It sounds probably a little OCD, but it feels like it'd be lopsided if Last of Us Part 1 had a multiplayer mode and Part 2 doesn't. Yep. It just would feel lopsided to me. I think it's cool. It's just a strictly narrative-focused series, Part 1 and Part 2, and that's all they are. And if you want to play multiplayer, it's its own standalone experience. I think it will just be very clean.
I agree.
And I like that. The Last of Us show wrapped filming recently. Mm-hmm. We got a screenshot that's kind of whatever, but I look forward to seeing it. I know Druckmann's directed at least one episode, which I think is really cool. And Troy Baker and Ashley Johnson are also playing different characters in the live action show, which is cool.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting.
I don't know if it'll be a cameo, if they'll actually have arcs. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping it's just cameos. I'd be kind of distracted if they have actual arcs in the show.
Yeah.
but apparently they're in the show. So look forward to seeing it. Hopefully we'll see a trailer by the fall. I imagine by fall of this year, we'll see a trailer for the show.
Yeah.
There's a bunch of stuff in Summer Games Fest, but nothing else that really stood out to us, I don't think. Let's go to Xbox Showcase, Jacob.
Yeah, let's get to the real news.
Let's see. Redfall's first gameplay trailer. Looks pretty cool. I really like Arcane. I never finished, what was the time loop game that just came out? Deathloop. Cool game. I just couldn't get into it long enough to finish it. Maybe I'll finish it someday, but I really love Arcane's games. And it's a new IP from then. You're fighting vampires, different classes, different abilities, and it looks pretty cool.
Yeah, I like vampires. I'll probably play it.
Same.
Seems fun.
So I think, as far as I'm aware, this is their first pretty strictly multiplayer-focused game. So I'm glad they're tackling something new. That High on Life game from the Rick and Morty Justin Roiland guy looks interesting. Yeah. It looks strange, but I might play it.
Yeah, they always make interesting stuff. What do you think about all the Riot games on Game Pass?
Sure.
Sure. I think it's cool that they're bringing all the League of Legends champions if you just pay for it on Game Pass. Because usually you have to, like, I think they go through a rotation on which ones are free every week. So if you just pay for it on Game Pass and play on Xbox, then you have access to every hero, which is cool.
Nice.
Yeah, it's cool. Valorant, all agents unlocked. But I don't really care about this announcement that much. Just cool for people that are fans of Riot games.
Definitely. Plague Tale Requiem. Could be cool. I was so disinterested in the original that I don't have much interest in the sequel. I understand that people really liked it. And I know that the narrative's pretty strong in the first one, but I thought the gameplay was just so standard. And even like it came out like, what, 5 or 6 years ago, maybe? And it felt very dated to me when I played it. Just like very poor AI. I mean, the rat mechanics were kind of cool, but aside from that, I didn't think it was all that interesting.
It came out in 2019.
So not even that long ago. I understand it's like a double A game. Like, it's not a triple A by any means, but I didn't love it. Forza Motorsport, I guess it's sort of a reboot. So they're no longer numbering it. So I guess it's a sort of a reboot. They didn't give too much information, but it looks unbelievably beautiful.
Yeah, they always do.
Speaking of Forza, though, I think Horizon, is it 4 that just came out? Their new Hot Wheels expansion looks incredible. I'm definitely going to buy that because it looks very fun. And that's also on Game Pass. So I've played a little bit of that with Zach and Andy a few months ago when it first came out. I will definitely go back for the Hot Wheels stuff.
I haven't played a Forza game since the first one that came out on Xbox. I don't remember which, or the Xbox One.
Wow, I've been a minute.
And I bought it because there was just nothing else to play. But it was fun. I enjoyed it.
Back in the day. Overwatch 2 PvP launching October 4th, Jacob. How are you feeling about it?
I don't know. I don't know if I talked about this because our podcasts have been so infrequent, but I got into that free week or whatever when they first announced or when they first revealed a lot of details about Overwatch 2. I think it was like in March or something, but I definitely played a little bit back when they first allowed people to play Overwatch 2, and it was fun. I got a feel for the new 5v5 game mode. Or wait, is it 5v5? I think it is. Yeah, it is. It was cool seeing, like, so they've changed a lot of the heroes. Like Orisa's, like the robot tank person, she has some new abilities, which are cool. Doomfist, the guy that like punches, he's a tank now. That's kind of cool. Overall, like, it was just Overwatch, you know, like there was a new game mode, which is cool. There's like this robot dude that walks around the map and he pushes a barrier. And I think the game mode's called Push, but whichever team makes that guy go farther, like I think there's an attacker and a defender, and the attacker's objective is for the robot to push that barrier past checkpoints and get to the end. But the defending team can also push him back and make you lose progress. So it was kind of cool. But overall, I mean, I imagine that I will play Overwatch 2, but I don't know if I'll ever be into it like I used to be. They're doing something cool, which they didn't announce during the show, is they're getting rid of loot boxes completely, which I think is a good thing. And they're putting a battle pass in to earn cosmetics. So you'll have to buy the battle pass. So if you play the game a lot, you'll frequently be giving them however much it is to unlock new cosmetics. But my only fear with this is that, so the loot boxes, while they are like gambling, basically you're paying for a box that you don't know what you're going to get in, but at least it gave a way to earn them in game, and you always had a way to eventually earn skins that you wanted. The problem with the battle pass is that if there's no way to earn currency, or if there's no way to like get skins, you know, without paying for them, then How does that feel? Like, is there motivation for players to play if they don't want to pay for the battle pass? Is something that I am interested in. But I think there's enough there in Overwatch 2. And it's free to play. It'll be free to play in October as long as you have the first game. I think. And I think it might just be free in general. I'm not quite sure. I'm not up to date on that enough. I was starting to watch the reveal event that they had this last week, but before our podcast today. It was when we were having some connection issues. But, I mean, I'm interested. I'm not sure how everyone else really feels about it. I think the PvE, like the story stuff they're doing, is coming next year. So in October when this launches, it'll just be PvP. So there's going to be new maps, 3 new heroes, and a bunch of new cosmetics. I think it'll be fun to check out. And they announced the Junker Queen character in this reveal event too. And she's a new tank hero. So there's some cool stuff here. And I think people will check it out for sure. Yeah, I think it'd be fun if we played it when it first launches. Probably be some fun to have there.
And, yeah, I'm down to try it.
Like, I haven't played Overwatch in quite a second, so probably be fun to jump back in.
I played it with not too long ago. I played it with someone.
Really?
Was it not you and I?
I don't think so.
I can't remember who I played with. I played just a little bit. Maybe it was, I could have sworn it was me, Preston, and you or someone else. It was a few months ago now, if not longer, but it wasn't that long ago.
I don't think it was me.
Anyway, Scorn is kind of a cool looking shooter. Looks pretty nasty. Might try it.
Garrett, you forgot the Pelican coming to Microsoft Flight Simulator.
Yeah, whatever. talk to me about Diablo 4, Jacob.
Oh, you want to jump into Diablo 4?
Yeah, let's do it.
Oh my gosh. I want this game so bad. Like, it's the only thing that I've been... It's like that game announcement where you can't stop thinking about it for me. The Necromancer class looks cool. I think the best part about Diablo 4 is the style that they're... Like, the tone of the game that they're presenting. Like, everything just looks like... everything looks so grim and bleak. Everything looks just... It looks like hell's already decimated the world. Like, it just looks so depressing and death. I absolutely love it. I love the classes that they have announced. I love the areas that they've shown off. I'm really just, there's not a single thing that I'm not excited for about Diablo 4, if I'm being completely honest. After the Necromancer announcement trailer, they sort of had like a interview with like the general manager and the game director. And that was like, as someone that's really excited for the game, it was nice hearing them talk about, you know, what's coming and what to be excited about. So do you know all the classes so far that they've announced?
Yeah.
Which one do you think you're going to play? Have you thought about it?
I don't know. Demon Hunter's in the game again, right?
Nope.
Okay, in that case, probably Necromancer.
Necromancer. It's a good choice. Mm-hmm. They look fun. Did you watch the trailer?
I did, yeah. That's everything cool. They showed off looks just so much fun. I love the world events. I like the open world edition. Of course, the classes look great. Combat looks awesome.
Yeah, combat looks awesome.
Love the brutality. Love the tone visually. And I really had no complaints. It just looks really fun to play. I love this cross progression on all platforms.
Yeah, I love that too.
Couch co-ops included. Cross play.
Cross play. That's going to be big.
So dungeons, strongholds. Everything they're doing looks great. Mm. So could not be more excited. But I think in terms of my most anticipated games, it's Callisto Protocol, Resident Evil 4, and Diablo 4 are all those are my top three for sure.
This is my number one, no doubt. When this game comes out, I'm going to just throw myself and everything I have at it. It's going to be my game.
Yeah, you and me both, man. I'm hoping you, me, and Preston and whoever else can really get back into Diablo again when it comes out.
I would love that so much. I need that.
Soon, my friend, soon. Persona is coming to Xbox, which was kind of a surprise, but that's cool.
A little bit, yeah. Definitely cool.
Persona 5 Royal, 4 Golden, and 3 Portable are available through this year in 2023, or coming to Xbox this year and through 2023.
Yeah.
So, console, PC, and cloud. Dope. Kojima's next game, whatever it's going to be, using Xbox's cloud technology. is coming.
This surprised me. I didn't expect
a relatively
this.
Cryptic announcement, but yeah, I look forward to seeing whatever he's working on.
And we have to assume this is going to be a exclusive, right? Like it's not going to be on PlayStation.
Maybe that or a console launch exclusive, maybe.
Yeah.
Because I mean, if he's utilizing Xbox's cloud technology, it's I think you're right. It's a safe assumption that it will be exclusive.
Death Stranding never came to Xbox, right?
Not yet. So, if it ever does, it may someday. I don't know. I don't really keep up with the exclusive stuff anymore.
Yeah.
Especially with crossplay and stuff now, it's like it's becoming more and more irrelevant. But obviously not first party studios, but stuff like this, an ever shifting landscape with exclusives these days. Starfield, on the other hand, is exclusive.
The big boy.
Yeah. How do you feel about that gameplay demo? I mean, there's obviously some complaints across the board for everyone, but what are the positives for you from Starfield?
Okay, the positives for me, I think overall it's a very ambitious game. Because they talked about how there's going to be a thousand planets that you can go travel to. And they're all like just as open as the one they showed off. Like that just kind of blows my mind. It's given me very No Man's Sky vibes, obviously. And that also frightens me as just as much as it like excites me, I guess. I think the gunplay looks. So I was at first kind of critical about the gunplay, but I think it looks better than anything that Fallout 4 had for sure. Not that that's like a high bar to compare it to. Or a low bar, I mean. Actually, it is kind of a low bar. But I think the gunplay it's good enough. And I don't know, I kind of worry. Like, I hope this game is good at something. Because it just looks like it's just doing a ton of different things. Just to have a bunch of things to do. But I worry that, like, none of it's going to be, like, really, really good. Does that make sense?
I know what you're saying. It obviously is still undercooked in many ways, which explains the additional delay into next year.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. At the same time, like I know we're talking about things that we're excited for, but this game isn't getting me that excited. Like there was nothing in this trailer that I was like, man, like I cannot wait. Like this feature looks so cool. Like I think there's one thing. I thought the space combat was kind of cool. Like how you can just go around and shoot other spaceships and that you can actually fly your spaceship. I think that's big. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily the customization of a spaceship. I don't really care that much about that. But I know some people are going to go wild with something like that. And it kind of gave me some cyberpunk vibes with the first person stuff, the interface a little bit. That's about all I can really read into it at this point. I think the planet that they showed off was cool. The city seemed interesting. What do you have to say about it?
My thoughts are relatively similar. The combat does look okay to me, which doesn't concern me too much because every Fallout game I played has RPG-like first-person combat, which is not a big deal to me. I would hope that, of course, they've improved their combat with their next IP after all this time, but it wasn't necessarily the gunplay itself that concerns me. It was the AI and how they responded to your character's presence in that demo.
Mm-hmm.
It looked a little underwhelming. Like they were very slow to react and didn't seem all that aggressive either. So that was a little concerning. But again, that was like obviously a minor slice of a gigantic game. In regard to the worlds, they will obviously have handcrafted big open worlds to explore like they've always had in their games. But in regard to the thousand planets, obviously many of those will be procedurally generated. I'm wondering if it's one of those things where in Skyrim, they technically made quests infinite because there's always NPCs that will give you like a minor objective to complete. And they could technically do that with a procedurally generated universe or galaxy where those thousand planets could be ever rotating. So, I mean, they may have a log like, here's 1,000 planets. You could technically discover every single one of them if you want to. We'll see. But I'm not giving too much thought to that right now because I'm sure we'll get more context as we get closer to release.
Yeah. I definitely want to see more like a quest or like what a single quest experience would be like in that game. And
that's what I was going to say. Yeah, because the questing and even Fallout has always meant a lot to me. Of course, exploration and discovery is a big part of that. And it'll be fun to explore foreign planets and find cool, interesting weapons. I hope there's surprises in like alien factions because we only saw human beings. I mean, we saw alien creatures, like animal-looking aliens. But it'd be cool to see more humanoid-type aliens that are either antagonistic or you can team up with different factions of aliens. Could be cool. Alien weaponry could be cool. I was a big fan of the building, as you know, and crafting in Fallout 4. I loved building my fort, which I still think is a masterpiece. And I look forward to building a space base on a planet that I like. I like the idea of hiring crew to take care of it. I like having the idea of having a crew on a custom-built spaceship. That's cool. Mm-hmm. Those are big pluses for me. That, like you said, the space combat's a pretty cool addition. I know people are a little upset that you can't just... It's really confusing. They're going to have to explain it because, you know, in the demo, Todd said, yeah, you can land anywhere you want on this planet anytime you want, which great, cool, but you don't fly seamlessly into it. It's always a cutscene. So what is different about choosing exactly where you're flying in if it's a cutscene where they can load anything?
Yeah.
It's a bit confusing. I'm not even concerned about the flying in and out. Like that's I think it's a cool feature in No Man's Sky. I don't necessarily need that in Starfield. Graphically, it does look pretty. I mean, it doesn't look astounding like a number of modern games, but it makes sense given it's on Creation Engine 2. It's a Bethesda game. Their games have never looked that magnificent, and it's also huge, so there's only so much you can do visually.
Yeah. I
like how the camera zooms in like Oblivion style dialogue with the characters. I like that your character is completely silent. Overall, I do, it's obviously the frame rate struggling, some things they may need to improve between now and release, but I still believe in Bethesda, and I believe that there will be a lot to appreciate and enjoy about this game when it launches. So I'm pretty optimistic about it, Jacob. I'm looking forward to it.
I agree. I really want this game to be good because I want to be a big Bethesda fan again. And the sooner they get this game out, the sooner that I can look forward to the next Elder Scrolls, which is what I really want. Starfield looks great. Or it looks, you know, interesting. But Elder Scrolls is really what I want out of that studio, if I'm being honest. Not Fallout, not Starfield, Elder Scrolls.
It was a bit of a shock and surprise to everyone, I think, when Todd said that Elder Scrolls is in pre-production still. Like, holy crap, dude. We're not getting that game for another 6 years, probably.
Yeah. I wouldn't expect that until probably 2028. Something like that.
At least, yeah. So that was a bit of a shocker. I could have sworn that they like were working on Elder Scrolls in tandem with Starfield, but that is not what they've been doing.
Yeah, I didn't necessarily think that. I just think they do one thing at a time. And it takes them a very long time to make games.
Because I know that Bethesda has multiple studios. Bethesda Game Studios is the flagship, but they have other Bethesda studios around the country. I didn't know if there's a secondary studio that was getting started on it with Todd overseeing it. I don't know, but I guess not. Speaking of Elder Scrolls, though, Tanner Denso wrote in and asked, do you think Starfield will be a bigger hit than Skyrim? It certainly has the potential. It's very difficult to say right now. And Skyrim, what it had going for it is that it was an established franchise with Elder Scrolls. And that was one of my most anticipated games of all time. And the meme being it's been released on every piece of hardware since for the last decade. So it's hard to say. Starfield has a big name studio behind it, of course, but it is a brand new IP. I think it definitely has mass appeal. I think most people are interested in some form of space travel and space exploration.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it'll be a bigger hit, but I definitely think it'll inevitably be a success easily.
I think a lot of people that perhaps really liked something like Mass Effect maybe would really be interested in a game like this, I think.
Yeah. And there's some Mass Effect vibes in that demo as well.
Yeah.
And the things that they're going for.
And like, I think there's a lot of gamers that really like space and just space games in general. And I think this is definitely going to scratch an itch for someone like that. Not everyone likes those kind of games. Not everyone likes Bethesda games. Not everyone likes, just single player games. Will it be bigger than Skyrim? I don't know about that. It would. Skyrim was absolutely huge. It was like Elden Ring back when it came out.
Mm-hmm.
Like it was just an industry shifting game. It would be asking a lot for any game to be like Skyrim back in the day. So probably not, but I have hopes that it will be, obviously. Like I want it to be really good. Mm-hmm. But right now, I'm not feeling that same excitement that I did back then.
I'm sure when we see more closer to release, I'll get more excited. Right now, I'm just, I wouldn't even say cautiously optimistic. I'm just generally optimistic for it.
Mm-hmm.
Despite the very clear issues they got to iron out. One other thing I wanted to comment on, I thought the music was beautiful in the presentation. Like the main theme for Starfield sounds epic and hopeful and
gave me Star Wars
inspiring
vibes
and inspiring all the same. It had a lot of good emotional weight to it. Yeah, I'm really excited to see more in the future. Jacob, that brings us to Ask IOG. Ask IOG is the part of the show where we answer your questions submitted through any of our social media at It's Obvious Gaming, the Ask IOG section of our Discord channel, or email to us at itsobviousgaming@gmail.com. First one comes from Blastoise Boy. He says, with Elden Ring having been out now for a few months, what are elements of the open world that you feel should be a mainstay going forward? For me, it's undeniably the lack of a minimap. I've explored so much more of Elden Ring than other open world games because it's so much easier to get lost. That's a good one for sure. The lack of a mini map and really just lack of like much of a HUD at all, which you can turn off your HUD completely if you want Elden Ring. But the lack of direction in the game, I think, is a huge plus, which again is very much a From Software thing. Even in their more linear games, there's branching paths that they don't necessarily tell you where to go.
Mm-hmm.
So that was definitely a key element that was brought over in Elden Ring and then expanded on massively in Elden Ring. I think that's a great example that a lot of people have commented on, is that open world games need far less mini map markers and direction telling you exactly where to go. If it serves the game, if it serves the narrative, and obviously serves the gameplay predominantly, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm hoping for the next Assassin's Creed, just a full reboot of that franchise to be... I'm not going to go down a huge rabbit hole in that. There's a million things you could say, but... And in regard to open worlds generally, yeah, that's a big one. Just like remove as many markers as possible and just make it truly about exploring and discovering on your own. It makes it so much more interesting and fun.
I kind of want to build off that. I don't necessarily think that minimaps are the problem, to be honest. Like, because Elden Ring does have a map and you can always reference it as long as you're not in combat. You can always look and see like all your teleport points or whatever.
And you can mark it up yourself as
exactly.
well.
Exactly. Yeah, you can put markers. I think what kills it for me with maps in general in games is it's like the Ubisoft thing where there's a million quests markers everywhere. And there's like, you know, points of interest and all that crap. I don't know if any of that is needed at all. I guess it's kind of like Breath of the Wild, Elden Ring. Like those maps they're huge. And there's so many things that you can do on those maps. And there's ways that you can customize those maps for yourself. I think like maybe having a main quest marker is something that should be standard. I think that's always okay to have. Just to have some sort of, progression through the game. But Elden Ring has been really refreshing in that. You can kind of just do what you want. Like it completely hands over the reins to the player to sort of... You make the story. Like there's things you have to do to progress in the game. Like I don't think you can fight any of the other main bosses without fighting Margit at the very beginning. Like you have to get through that part to progress in the game. But overall, you can kind of just do what you want to do when you want. And I think that's really, that's been a huge reason why Elden Ring has been popping off like it has. I really think a lot of games will start to, we'll see a little bit more freedom, I think, and how stories are being told, I think, going forward. Not every game, obviously, but I think studios are starting to understand that, oh, maybe people like this. Maybe Elden Ring is sold a lot of copies because it's doing something refreshing. I think that's what people really want. They just want new ideas. They don't just want to do the same thing over and over again in this formulaic pattern that we've been doing for decades at this point.
I don't know how many people feel this way, but I also appreciate when a game doesn't entirely hold your hand, and Elden Ring does not hold your hand at all.
Mm-hmm.
So, From Software games in general, obviously, but I think it'd be nice if more open world games didn't do as much hand holding and really allowed you to discover the game for yourself.
Yeah. And if you are someone that like feels like they're frustrated and they don't have enough information to figure out what to do. Like, you have a phone, my friend. Like, you can look up anything you want. Like, if you're having, like, I don't know where to go with this part of the game, just look it up. Mm-hmm. It's that easy.
I will say the only time I've had frustration with that in the years is when I've reviewed a game that requires some sort of tip or direction. You have to go in where I get completely, like playing Sekiro for the first time, reviewing for COG.
Oh boy.
Obviously you get stuck on a boss. You can't really look up tips on how to beat him, or you don't know where to go next. And like, you can't find it. So you're like truly stuck.
Yeah,
it's the only time I've run, like, I hit a wall a couple of times reviewing games in the past. But when a game's released fully to the public, you can always find answers somewhere on the internet these days. Yeah, great answer, Jacob. Kyle wrote in, Bojangles, Bohongadays! It says, with the recent trailer releasing for the cyberpunk anime that's being done by Trigger Studio, which looks absolutely incredible, what is a game you think would translate well into an anime? Let's try and stick with Western games, because otherwise it's too easy. Hope you all are doing well and living life to the fullest.
Overwatch 2. Diablo.
I think a number of Blizzard games could be anime for sure. I even think of Diablo, like they're doing, like they've done Castlevania in a similar style. I'm excited for the sequel series to Castlevania as well.
Too.
I forgot to mention that.
Trailer wasn't really much, but it was cool.
Yeah. I think Resident Evil could be a great anime. I know they have the animation that's supposedly coming to Netflix, but it's still not out, weirdly enough.
Mm-hmm.
I think Resident Evil could be cool. I think Dead Space would be a good anime.
I think Witcher could be cool, sticking with CD Projekt Red. Mm-hmm.
Haven't there been... I think there is an animated Witcher series already.
There is. I don't know if it was that good, but...
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
I heard people say it wasn't great.
Other Western... I think Halo should have been an animation at this point, because live action, the TV show, is just pretty much terrible. It's not great. And we've seen examples of what great live-action Halo can be in the past, but clearly Paramount and 343 are not doing that with the series. So, whatever. But I think Halo... There have been animated Halo shorts and I think a couple movies in the past, but I think a Halo anime could be awesome.
It would be cool. I'm just thinking about Diablo right now. Like, could you imagine like having a party of every single kind of class? Like, you got the barbarian who's just... crazy and he just wants to kill things. You got the wizard.
Yeah, I feel like
the sorceress.
A Diablo anime writes itself.
Oh my
and,
god!
And animate it in the style of Castlevania.
Like, if you just make
Castlevania
all those
is basically Diablo. Yeah, like Castlevania the show. I mean, is like Diablo.
Yeah,
it feels like that with all the Hellspawn and the action scenes and everything. It feels that way.
Yeah, and like every season could be like a different. Like, if you're thinking about Diablo 3, like a different act could be just a different season.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be really cool.
It's probably the best answer I can think of. You could really name any Western game that could be an anime and it has potential for the most part.
It's really just what we're interested in, I guess.
Fribes wrote in and asked, COVID or monkeypox? I'm assuming if you had to choose between the two. I'd probably just do COVID because COVID. I know it's different
COVID,
for everyone.
Please.
I don't mean to undermine anyone's horrific COVID experience, but for me, it was pretty minor.
Yeah.
So I'd probably go with COVID again. And monkeypox, I couldn't give less of a crap about. Even if it is real, like, I just am so over the government telling us to be scared of viruses and diseases, so F it. But it looks pretty nasty. Anyone who contracts it, like, the severe cases look pretty nasty. So I'm going to hope and pray that that does not affect me or my loved ones or really anyone out there. So,
yeah.
COVID for me, please.
I'll take one COVID, please.
Ron's G wrote in, asked, is Synthwave Vegan the heaviest Veil of Maya song of all time? Potentially. It's weird because I really like a lot of Veil of Maya's recent music, their past three albums in particular. I guess it's the past two plus EPs and singles and stuff, or just really singles in their past two albums. But there's stuff before I like it, but as far as I'm aware, I don't think there's a song quite as heavy as Synthwave.
The name of that song makes me think it wouldn't be heavy.
Right. It's a pretty juicy one, Jacob. It's a good gem song for sure.
The like three songs that I've heard by them have all been really good. Maybe it's a band I should listen to more.
They're a very talented band, very talented musicians all around, for sure.
I mean, you know me, I've always liked bands that have good vocals or clean vocals.
There's a lot of good modern metal and metalcore bands these days. Like, ones that are a couple of my favorites. bands that I think are doing interesting things for the genre are Loathe. I think Loathe's most recent album, I Let It In and It Took Everything, is probably a masterpiece. I think it's very good. I really love Norma Jean. I think what Northlane's doing is pretty cool. Of course, Vela Maya. Era, E-R-R-A, Era is phenomenal. Their self-titled album is incredible. Really good metal bands out there. I can name a million more, but those are ones that come to mind. Big finale, Jacob. 32 Speeds are old Sam Harris. He says, gentlemen, Sammy. It's been quite, excuse me, gaming overlords. It's been many sunsets since I last inquired thee about matters of video games. So many new and exciting adventures await us in the realm of virtual entertainment. A feast, if you will. There's too many things to ask about, so I'll deviate from the main conversation and ask the real deep questions. Chick-fil-A for life, but never eat Taco Bell again? Or enough time to play every new game that comes out, but once you play it, never play it again, ever? Well, I'm going to go with, that's an easy one, because I'd go with the enough time to play every new game, because that would be great, generally speaking. But that also means while I'm doing that, I can have both Chick-fil-A and Taco Bell.
Yeah.
So...
yeah, second choice is easy because I already do that.
And I rarely replay a game from start to finish.
Yeah, exactly.
Very rarely. So that's an easy answer.
I don't think Preston now, if it was that
just
one.
Now, if it was just Chick-fil-A for life and never eat Taco Bell again, I think you'd have to be more specific with that. If it's just Chick-fil-A for life or Taco Bell for life,
yeah,
I'd probably go Chick-fil-A.
I would,
because there's more variety at Chick-fil-A, as much as I love Taco Bell.
Yeah, there's times when you have Taco Bell where it's just not good.
Yeah.
It's not a good product. But Chick-fil-A is usually always pretty good.
Mm-hmm. And the only thing really differentiating Taco Bell's menu items is the sauce they put on their stuff. Because really, it's the same ingredients, just remixed with different sauces. Yeah. And maybe like the shell or tortilla is a bit different. But it's mostly the same thing remixed.
Hey, you can change your meats, okay? You got like three selections.
That's true. I didn't consider that. You got steak, chicken, and beef there. So that's a good point, Jacob. But yeah. I still think I'd go Chick-fil-A.
Yeah, no doubt. As much as I love Taco Bell, like you'd get tired of that. I know I would.
Sam goes on to say, glad to hear you guys again. I'm getting married in about 3 weeks, and then I'm off to Michigan for 2 weeks to do training with the Alabama National Guard. I can't wait to hear this and maybe come back on a guest to regale you with my adventures at basic training and advanced individual training. Have a great week. Let thy gaming experiences be grand and your poop breaks enjoyable. Amen to that, brother.
We'd love to have you back.
Of course, congrats on the wedding. That's a big deal. And everything you're pursuing in the military is incredible. Alabama National Guard. And I would love to hear your tales about basic when we can, because Zach had some wild stories from Coast Guard basic training. So love hearing those stories. But yeah, congrats, brother. And thanks for writing in. Thanks to everyone who wrote in. And thanks to everyone who tuned in to episode 270. I know we didn't spend too much time on the things we had to say, but we really only wanted to talk about the things that interested us most. Not to say there isn't more things to be excited about. And of course, if you're listening on YouTube, by all means, comment below and let us know what you're most excited about. Anything we covered, like share your thoughts on what you think, whether it's Starfield, Resident Evil, Final Fantasy, Call of Duty. There's plenty to talk about this Diablo. Summer, which has been really fun. Diablo. Yeah, games are thriving, I feel like, in every genre for the most part, which is really exciting. It's a very healthy industry for the time being. Hopefully it remains that way. And I'm stoked for a lot. So I'm glad we could do this, Jacob. It had been a minute.
I miss doing this. I hope we can do it again very soon.
Definitely.
It definitely seems like there's a lot of cool games coming out, and there's going to be stuff to be excited about. Right now, it kind of feels a little, you know, vacant. There's not a lot of games coming out right now. It seems a lot
in the oven, but nothing coming out in our near future.
Yeah. So it's slightly frustrating, but you know, I think we're all hanging in there. We're all excited for the new stuff.
Absolutely. Well, that'll do it, ladies and gentlemen. Of course, follow us on Instagram, Twitter is where we're most active. You can join our Discord as well. A lot of people hang out there. Always a good time. And you can listen to this podcast on any of your favorite podcasting services, including YouTube. And that's it for us, Jacob. I think we're signing out. And we'll be back for 271, hopefully in the near future.
Yes. Hopefully it won't be 2 months from now. Hopefully.
Yeah. Hopefully a week or two, max.
I mean, we keep saying that, so...
Right.
One of these times it'll actually happen, right?
For sure. For sure.
For sure.
All right, Jacob, I love you to bits, and we love y'all, and we'll catch you again soon.
Love you too, man. Goodbye, everybody. See you next time.
Later.